So I'm going to share with you some of Pastor Pillow Talk. Last night at 10:30, my wife and I were laying in bed. Should I continue? And she said to me, she said, "Tim, what are you going to say tomorrow about what happened this week at the Capitol?" Now, you'll hear my answer as part of my sermon. But this week at the Capitol, we had words like provoke, temper, tearing apart. And today, this morning, as a United Methodist pastor, as a child of God, I want to reclaim those words, provoke, temper, tearing apart. I want to reclaim those words in the name of our God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. I want to talk about those words as holy words. Words of love and grace, not words of division and destruction. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Speak to me, use me, manifest your wisdom in these words, so we, your beloved worshiping community, may start this year as it is just beginning, and use us as an instrument of your peace and grace and love this year and every year. Amen. I also told my wife that the sermon this morning was a bit difficult. I wrote three different sermons, and I didn't know which one to not use, so I'm using all three. Get a cup of coffee, please. Let's talk about the word provoke. And I bring this up because I was looking online, and Reverend Dr. Steve Manskar, writing on the UMC Discipleship website, back in 2015, after two terrorist attacks, one in San Bernardino, California, one in Paris, France, wrote a piece called Provoke One Another to Love. And he was focusing on that word provoke as it was used by John Wesley in his sermon number 92, which was called On Zeal. Wesley's words: "Lastly, may Christ followers more effectively provoke one another to love, to holy tempers, and to good works, as our blessed Lord has united us together in one church." You see, provoke means to incite someone to act. It has a connotation these days, typically it's used with thoughts of anger and fighting and violence. But if we go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24, we see this: "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds." And so the writer of the book of Hebrews and John Wesley are using provoke as a means of holiness, as a means of bringing holiness, sparking holiness in this world. Now, you may have noticed that John Wesley, in that quote from his sermon, used the phrase holy tempers. And again, temper has a connotation in the 21st century of anger and violence. But Professor Randy Maddox, in his book, Responsible Grace, points out that Wesley was using temper in an 18th century sense, as in a person's habits. A good temperament is a person that has good habits. And Wesley believed that holy tempers, in other words, holy habits, are developed as Christians participate in the life of the body of Christ by works of love and mercy and holiness. And these works, these holy habits, these are the lifeblood of a church community. Love and mercy and holiness, these are the lifeblood of our Royal Oak beloved worshiping community. And this phrase that Wesley used, holy tempers, also describes the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, online and in person, we are called to do the work of Jesus in this world at this time to provoke holy tempers. So that was more or less a sermon that I had written, condensed. But I also had a second sermon that I had written that I want to give you in condensed form. It goes along with this. I referenced in the beginning the words provoke, holy tempers, and torn apart. So the Reverend Maxwell Grant presented an interesting concept to me. Okay? What if, instead of sprinkling water on the forehead of a person, or maybe even immersing, full immersion in a river of a person when they are baptized, what if the only way to join the church was to skydive? Just think about this. You want to join the church, and the baptismal ritual includes jumping out of an airplane at 12,000 feet, falling at the terminal velocity of 150 miles an hour, seeing the ground rushing closer, finally pulling your ripcord, and then, and this is important, remembering to bend your knees so when you land, you don't break your ankles. Imagine if that was our baptismal ritual to get you into the church. Now, you may think that's crazy, but if you think about it, our gospel this morning describes the baptism of Jesus, as is our baptism, as that kind of radical, crazy act. Because in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, we see that as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove. When Mark wrote those words, he used the Greek word for torn apart, schizo. Oh, we get our modern word schizophrenia or schizophrenia from that word, that root. Schizo is a violent word, and Mark knew it was a violent word when he used it. Schizo is a jumping out of an airplane kind of word. Schizo cannot be undone. Schizo is a permanent rupture. And in the baptism of Jesus, God has torn apart the heavens. Now, the United Methodist Discipleship Ministries website talks about this, their words. The tearing continues. Our lives are constantly being taken apart and put back together. The Holy Spirit, our faithful companion, inspires us to love and serve and grow in new, powerful ways. And while we're talking about baptism, in the United Methodist Church, baptism is more than an individual act. We baptize as part of a church service. In baptism, we become part of a beloved worshiping community of God, part of the local church we are being baptized in. And St. Paul tells us how this works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, St. Paul's words, "We are all baptized into one body." And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul tells us, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." In other words, you have put on Christ. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, Paul says, "By faith in Christ, you are in direct relationship with God." In baptism, as the heavens are being torn apart, we become part of a beloved worshiping community, one body in Christ. The third part of my sermon, which I again have condensed, was going to focus on the Wesleyan covenant prayer. John Wesley took this covenant prayer from the Puritans and was so inspired by it that he encouraged Methodist to start the new year with this covenant prayer as a rededication and renewal of their lives in Christ. I'm going to be putting this up on Facebook later today. I'm also going to email it to you. The Wesleyan covenant prayer: "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and your disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen." You'll get this in the mail, email. You'll see it on Facebook. I urge you to pray that prayer. I urge you to print it out from the email. Keep it by your bedside. Wesley wanted us to remember at the beginning of each week, a beginning of each year, but we can use this every day, that this is a way to remember and renew the baptismal covenant that we share. If these were normal times, we would be doing in church a renewal of our baptismal vows. But we are not able to meet right now, so. Wesley's covenant prayer describes what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And the Methodist Church in England has this beautiful quote about this covenant prayer. They say, this prayer is really a love poem. It is about surrendering to God in love and joy. Wesley's covenant prayer describes the self-giving and self-emptying love of the life of Jesus. And if you need to be reminded of this or want to see an example of this, look at the words that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, these words, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not I will, but as you will. You see, in praying Wesley's covenant prayer, we are being reminded who we are and whose we are. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, as we are just beginning the year 2021, we pray for renewal with Wesley's covenant prayer. We reclaim God's love in the holy use of the words provoke, temper, tear asunder, torn apart. And we are reclaiming God's love for our wounded world. And so let us pray, dear God, come into our hearts so we may provoke each other with holy tempers and good works. And dear God, come into our torn places where tragedy has broken us and we can't yet put everything back together. Dear God, come into our covenant prayer so we may always remember to give ourselves completely to you. Dear God, help us each day to be renewed by your words. You are my cherished one, my greatest delight is in you. And dear God, strengthen us in this work. Help us in every way you can. Pour your mercy upon us, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.